Recovering Queen, the Queen fan podcast, where we talk about and play the songs we love with Jay, Matt, and Ian.
I'm recording.
Welcome to Recovering Queen, the Queen podcast, where we take a famous or not so famous Queen song, do a cover version of the Queen song, and then talk about what we've learned about the methods and the madness of the greatest band that there has ever been in the world, ever. Queen. My name's Ian, and with me, as ever, are Jay and Matt. Good evening, gentlemen.
Matt, good evening.
Hello. Said it slightly differently then, just for effect. Do you know what? Yeah. I'm just feeling a really good mood tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Are you having a ball?
Oh, you've given it away.
Yes, of course, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't realise from the title of the podcast or what we've that clue, then we are, of course, talking about Don't Stop Me Now this evening.
Oh.
The first single I ever bought, unless it was the Manumana by the Muppets. I've never looked up when they both came out. So whichever was released first, that was my first one.
But I think Don't Stop Me Now, that's a solid good first.
Still got it. Picture disc with B-side of?
B-side in only 7 days.
It is.
Oh, yes.
Well done, man. Yes, good. Taken from the album Jazz.
Nice. Is it the best song on Jazz? I'm going to just chuck it straight out there.
Not according to Jay, because Jay's a big fan of
obviously Mustafa,
of course. Yeah. No, it's for me. I mean, this is up there with peak Queen for me. Music does not get a whole lot better than Don't Stop Me Now by Queen off of Jazz.
Such an interesting track. And I think the interesting part about it is when it was released, it clearly didn't hit the right note with the public at the time. Thus showing that sort of good songwriting or a good song is in context with the cultural background at the time. In other words, there isn't such a thing as a good song, but it requires it to be born in the right time.
There is such a thing as a good song. You're just really talking about the marketing and the economic success, aren't you, really?
But it's not a marketing problem, I don't think, with this song.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
That's not what I'm saying.
No, but listen, hear me now.
Okay. Okay. So you're saying it was just a marketing problem. See,
no,
that might
no,
be
I'm
right.
Saying, I'm might saying be it was always my... I'm saying it was always a good song in the same way that Van
yeah,
Gogh's
good, yeah,
paintings
yeah.
were always good. Just because nobody appreciated them, they're still amazing even then.
Yeah, but I wonder how many songs get released, and because they don't quite, you know, Don't Stop Me Now, it is on Queen's greatest hits. And so it's got a chance to be rekindled. In other words, it's almost got a little, it's staying hot in the fire. Where there must be a lot of songs like Don't Stop Me Now that don't get the kind of credit that they deserve at the time. But then because they didn't get over a certain threshold, are just lost forever. You know, people rediscover them and they won't become massive again.
So this was only top 10, wasn't it? You say only, you know, pretty good. But yeah, it wasn't one of Queen's massive.
No, hits. It wasn't a big hit at all. And you know, it's almost like it might not have got on Queen's greatest hits. You know, it would have been one of those ones where they were looking at whether you stick on
spread your wings,
instead. Which is what
it sounds so strange what you're saying, Matt.
I know it does now. I know it does now. It sounds...
I mean, even when I picked up the first copy of Greatest Hits, this was just like one of the best tracks on there.
I agree. I absolutely loved Don't Stop Me Now. It's an absolute...
For me.
I mean, it's a total banger.
Do you know, I found out a very interesting fact from 2011. The University of Groningen... and Amsterdam concluded 2011, this is the happiest ever song ever recorded based on tempo, key and lyrics.
I think I've heard that before. I think I'd heard that. Oh, it's back to the Dutch being fans of Queen, isn't it? A solid Queen fandom in Holland.
Isn't it a joyful song?
Even that is contentious, Jay. I'm going to say there's something that there's a deep pain in it. It's almost awful. It's almost someone who's out of control, who's about to explode, and literally shouting for everyone to help him, and everyone's not quite hearing his message.
That's definitely a different take on it from how I've always interpreted. I thought Freddie wrote this song after a very exciting, effervescent gig, and he was in the limo or coming back, and he just wanted to carry on the party. And it was just a pure, and I think Brian's even said it was about a sort of time in Freddie's life where it was, you know, a different guy every night and party, party, party.
Yeah, and does that sound like a healthy lifestyle? Because Brian was quite upset about it, wasn't he? When Freddie brought the song to the band, it's like, oh, I don't like this at all, because they were worried about him. They were worried that they were losing him.
That is an interesting take. I don't think that the general population, you know, people listening to it get that, which makes it quite interesting.
I think Roger's actually noted that, by the way. Roger's noted that he says he thinks it's odd that it's taken. Roger and Brian weren't fans of the song, and they think it was a bit odd how much sort of snowballing it's had. And Roger was sort of saying, you know, loads of people have it at their weddings and stuff, and they don't realize how dark it is. But it's like in dark.
Interesting.
But yeah, whether it's Freddie's intention as a kind of scream for help is, I would guess, is a bit contentious. I do think it's him kind of showing off, like, look at my life. Yeah. but there might be another side to it where it's like, yeah, you know, this is someone out of control. He must have known he was a little bit out of control at this point.
Well, I mean, yeah, and music is very much like I'm singing dark things to happy tunes or vice versa. You know, it can be anything you want it to be, can't it? You're just expressing how you are at the time. But that's the weird thing, isn't it? It's very joyful sounding.
Yeah.
To anybody listening to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's we're back to the kind of every breath you take type song where the mood is completely opposite to the sound. Well, you know, it feels like a love song. Really, it's a stalking song.
Don't stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm in brackets, bad time.
I mean, it's just like, otherwise.
I'm having a ball, brackets, help, help.
Help, help me. Yeah, for God's sake, help me.
Do stop me now. In fact,
yeah, been, literally. Do stop me.
Literally, stop.
Please stop me now.
Yeah. But it has definitely snowballed since its release and is now one of Queen's biggest songs, most famous songs.
Well, on Spotify, it's its second biggest.
It's incredible, isn't it?
1.9 billion. Yeah, which incredible. Bohemian Raps is only 2.4 billion. And it's bigger than Under Pressure.
Shaun of the Dead, a big reason that it kind of came back with the zombie baseball bat scene.
Yeah.
That seemed to be a catalyst, didn't it?
Yeah. How good was that, Jay? That's another moment that we shared that was like completely random, wasn't it? Where we went to the premiere of Shaun the Dead of completely.
It was a viewing, I think, with the director.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Was it a premiere? Oh, maybe it was. I can't remember.
In fact, it was before it was out. Yeah. And we went to see it and it was just like completely random. Didn't know who it was. We were both massive Spaced fans, but we didn't know that we were about to see like a Spaced related thing. And then that came on and then it's got Queen in it.
And it was a very funny film as well.
Oh, it was amazing. It's one of my favorite films. And it's like, oh my God, this is the best evening out ever.
Yeah. Then it breaks out into that. Yeah. Incredible.
And then in a pub not too far, about 2 miles away from where I live in southeast London. Mm. That pub, which is now sadly flats. Always a tragedy when a pub gets closed down and
it was the wasn't it the Winchester?
It was the. It wasn't called the Winchester. No, I forget what it was called when it was a pub around here. But sadly.
Yeah, that's quite a while ago now, isn't it? That's probably
it's a great scene though, isn't it? The Don't Stop Me Now scene.
Yeah,
that's as good as it gets.
But the exploitation didn't stop there, of course. So this is one one track that has been used on a few adverts, not advertising floor cleaner, but Cadbury's did. I think it was Chocolate Buttons. I think Don't Stop Me Now. It's fairly apt. Being an excellent confectionery.
Toyota.
L'Oreal, and apparently Amazon as well. Don't Stop Me Now.
Well, yeah.
Wouldn't it have made more sense to have done Pringles?
Don't pop me now.
And change the words to Don't Pop Me Now. But do pop me now. Yeah.
Or Don't Stop Me Pop.
No. Well, isn't there a line, once you pop, you can't stop?
Yes. Yeah.
And then someone turns around and says, "Don't stop me now," and opens the bottle.
I'm getting really fat and I'm sad.
I think you should. Yeah, I think you should. Exactly, Jay. That's my point.
I'm not sure you're convincing Jay, Matt, about this the melancholia side of "Don't Stop Me Now."
What other accolade has this song garnered? I'll give you a clue. It's probably the best song ever made in the world.
Top Gear's favorite track of all time, or best driving track,
best greatest driving song ever.
Ooh, have you got the list there, Matt? Can you tell us what other songs it's got, which it beat to the crown?
That Roachford track's got to be in there.
Oh, what? Your fog lights. Yeah, I don't know, Ian. I mean, I could look it up.
I wonder if it was one of those that was voted for by the listeners, and then the Queen online mob gets in there and makes sure that Queen win all those type of awards often, don't they?
Yeah,
they're motivated online fans.
They do have an enormous, they do have an enormous fan base. What else about "Don't Stop Me Now"?
A live favourite, but for a relatively short amount of time. So you know this thing that, you know, it's not actually a very popular Queen song. It's ringing true. So they only played it in 78 and 79. And then only 62 times in total.
Yeah, it really wasn't that big a song until you know, way after Freddie's death. It's one of those songs that in the public imaginary. I know amongst Queen fans, it's always been popular.
Yeah. And it's popular with Queen and Adam Lambert. They play it a lot, obviously, because it's such a massive song now. But it didn't make it past the. Well, I guess that'd be the jazz tour, and then the Life Killers.
Yeah, I mean, like the Spotify numbers are ridiculous. They're so much higher than their contemporary bands. Like, "Don't Stop Me Now" is like got more listens than the entire kind of like output of some of their contemporaries. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So it's become so popular and so kind of ubiquitous, and it's a bit like, it's almost like they've written the song that "We Will Rock You" and "We Are the Champions" was going to become, because it's kind of sports ground favorite as well, isn't it? You know, it's got that kind of crowd pleasing element to it.
Well, it'll be one that's always on the karaoke machine. Which is funny, really, because it's so hard to sing.
Well, I was just going to get onto that. Yeah, I was just going to say. If anyone suggests that you just rattle off "Don't Stop Me Now" then, folks, on the karaoke down your local pub, I would treat that with extreme caution, because as I found out, it's impossible to get anywhere near what Freddie did on it, and it's incredibly difficult just to get through it.
It's another track where Brian has been kind of like left out of the studio, like locked out. It's like, quickly, I've got a really good track. Let's get this down before Brian gets here.
Yeah, yeah.
demoted to just guitar solo, unlike last week's Somebody to Love, where at least he had a little bit of a run-up to the guitar solo. But this one, he gets no run-up. It's just guitar solo.
But what a guitar solo.
Well, it's absolutely genius.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's classic, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, he totally pulls it out. I mean, totally pulls it out of the bag on Somebody to Love and this and any other song where the band say, actually, Brian, we just need you for the guitar solo.
But it's funny, isn't it? Because this song still absolutely rocks like a proper rock song, even though it is bass, drums and piano.
But again, this is why we're talking about Pete Queen, aren't we? This is where they're playing together, like putting a backing track down. Freddie's rhythmic piano playing is literally second to none. No one plays the piano like that. And it's like, it's kind of, well, I guess other than those old sort of rock and roller pianists back in the day, like the Little Richards and people like that, who were sort of smashing the piano and driving the whole thing. But he's got that. He's got that kind of, I'm just going to drive it with a piano. And oh my God, the version that I heard on Spotify was a recent remix of Don't Stop Me Now, and they'd left the guitars all the way through. And it's horrible.
Isn't that a more modern version? Didn't they do something for Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie stroke documentary?
I don't know where it's from. I sort of put it on and thought, what is this?
It might have been in the end credits, and it's got kind of, chunky guitars all the way through.
Yeah.
And it makes it sound really lame. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It doesn't rock it up at all.
It does the opposite, doesn't it? It actually kind of makes it, it just makes it gross. It makes it sound like it's not even a McFly song. You know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't, it's just not good.
No, absolutely not. Whereas the version on Life Killers, absolutely tremendous. I love the arrangement they used to do.
Ian, on your version, are you mimicking my favourite bit about the Live Killers, and that's the fact that Freddie's kind of almost doing it with a lisp? Don't stop me, like that. You're kind of, were you doing that? Because on your version, on your version, it sounds like you're doing the same thing, but I don't know.
Not consciously. It may have been something that maybe the spirit of Freddie was
It can happen if you're putting a bit too much de-esser on it.
Yeah, it could have been that. To be honest, I needed all the help I could get because it's impossibly high. The diction that you need, it's so wordy. And so you have to do loads of different takes on it to get both the pitch and the rhythm right. But it's so high and you have to belt it out so much. You get so tired so quickly that you can't actually do loads of takes at once. So it just took forever. It was such an enormous challenge, and it's I listen to it now.
4 years, isn't it, Ian?
Yeah, it's taken a long time. Yeah.
Well, and we heard early versions, and it's like doing this project, your voice is like, it's massively improved.
Yeah.
Trying to mimic Freddie Mercury has created an improvement in your voice.
Yeah. Well, it's just doing regular music, isn't it? It's being kind of again and again, and that it's such a physical workout because you've got to do, the lines just come and come and come at you. There's nowhere to breathe. It's super high as well.
It's such a great song. I mean, I love the, I just love it right from the off. And the sort of, you're not necessarily aware of what's about to happen with the intro, with this sort of slow intro. It's sort of like beguiling, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's definitely lulling you into a false sense of security.
Yeah, it's like, I'm gonna have a, it's sort of crooning, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you think, this is a nice little song. Mm. And then boom, down it.
Off we go. I mean, wow.
But I used to love singing along to,
how good are the lyrics?
Well, that's just what I was just about to say. Yeah, I think the lyrics are fantastic on this, and I absolutely used to love singing along to it, because I could sort of work them all out, and they were just so clever and funny. And
I know
they had some cultural references as well. Very funny.
Oh, how crazy is the lyric? I'm a shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
makes sense. It's like, it doesn't make any sense, but make sense.
So many syllables just in that. It's just like
a rate.
Like, you've had enough to drink, Matt, on a Saturday night down in Roxy's, and something else besides. Yeah, I reckon that would make more sense.
I reckon there's a few sort of in jokes in there. Obviously, the Mr. Fahrenheit. Obviously, mercury is used to measure Fahrenheit, isn't it? That's a gag in itself. Yeah. And I noticed that you've re-gagged it, Ian. Mr. Farragher.
Which is actually harder to sing because it's like really guttural. So it's like
I couldn't work out what had happened at first, and I was like, "Hang on a second, just said his name."
Couldn't resist.
You see, I'm traveling at the speed of light. I want to make a supersonic man out of you, which is funny because supersonic really means the speed of sound.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, it means more than the speed of sound.
Yeah.
Just
you're going faster, but not going at the speed of light.
Speed of light's it would maybe Brian persuaded him not to do that because he knows the
Freddie's
problems.
Limited understanding, limited understanding of physics wouldn't happen in a Brian lyric, would it?
Yeah,
he was an art student after all, wasn't he? So,
yeah, I'm a sex machine ready to reload. Yeah, I always there's his gay references in there as well. I kind of always spotted that when I was really young about, you know, I want to make a supersonic man out of you and stuff like that. So he's supersonic woman out of you. He's going both ways there. It's a song about being bisexual, maybe. Who knows? But
But I never thought of it like that at all. It never crossed my mind. It was, none of the lyrics ever happened. None of the lyrics ever meant much to me at all. I just like singing them, like the tunes.
I mean,
just words.
They are just words. I mean, they are just words, and it's great. I mean, let's face it. You could say, yeah, this is Freddie's song about how much he's enjoying his life, or it could be the opposite.
Let's
put an argument.
This is Freddie going out on the town. Yes, he may be doing lots of things that maybe makes him feel guilty the next day, maybe. But this is pure, unadulterated, you know, drunken and whatever else fun that you have as a young person, isn't it? Surely. That's the energy of this song, surely.
That's what I feel.
You know, and maybe there are worries amongst the more sensible members of the band when you see that going on. But for Freddie, this feels just like pure joy expression of like, well, you know, I'm getting out there doing it.
Yeah.
And why not?
Well, maybe he knows that it's going to end badly. I don't know, Jay. I'm just putting
Well, all I'm saying is it's quite an upbeat song for a lot of people. So I'm trying to keep it upbeat.
I think it's an upbeat song, but maybe has more intellectual gravitas than one might give it at first glance.
Could
just be hedonism, or it could be a bit like, you know, if this was a novel being written by some of the greatest novelists of the 20th century and it was about hedonism, you would know that the kind of underlying subtext to it was that it was not about hedonism at all. It was about something else.
Yeah.
And so maybe we should give Freddie a little bit of, you know, he's an art school person. So he was very much up on that kind of stuff, you know, and we know, having visited the Queen, the Freddie Mercury exhibition at Sotheby's, that he was reading Frank Herbert's Dune, which is all about losing yourself.
He had the book.
Yeah, whether he read it or not.
I couldn't help but notice none of the pages were open. There's not that much to say about this song, is there?
Well, I was just to say, did they get the placement right on the album Jazz? Because it's not in a position.
It's awful, the placement. It's in between Roger's two rubbish tracks.
Right at the end of, the end of...
the two tracks that Roger doesn't even like.
That's harsh.
What are they?
Fun It and More of That Jazz.
Oh, yeah, Jesus. He goes there right at the end of which is quite a lot of tracks on side two of Jazz as well.
As we've said, there's too many songs on Jazz, I think. There's too many songs on Jazz, particularly that second side. And if it had finished on this... but it doesn't sound like a song you want to finish on. This sounds like track two of an album to me, or even track one.
Track one, yeah. But then we had this before, didn't we, when we tried to say, Let Me Entertain You should have been the first track on, but no, Mustafa definitely should be the first track on. And we go around in circles. But it is, I would have definitely not had it there. Track two, after Mustafa, I think, would have been perhaps more sensible.
Mm. So do you think that this that Party is the great-grandfather of Don't Stop Me Now?
Or great-grandson?
Great-grandson, yeah. The classic Party.
The bastard track. Child.
Yeah.
The unwanted
child. But no, there's a slight mean-spiritedness in Party, isn't there? There's like some not... well, it's for a future podcast, obviously. But, yeah.
Finally get round to wanting to cover it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All I'm saying is that Queen liked to have a party, didn't they? They liked to have a bit of fun. And this is, for me, this is represents that period of, you know, the big party. They were very famous for their parties, weren't they? The dwarves with trays of cocaine and scantily clad ladies, and that would be about this period, I'm guessing.
It would. So yeah, it was the legendary roof, what was it, Kensington Roof Gardens or whatever that hot spot used to be. That's where they used to always go back after their big shows and Freddie's 40th birthdays and all that kind of stuff.
So this is very this is very synonymous to me as well of all of those very famous parties, and you know. I think there's a lot of joy in that, as well as it being a bit unadulterated and seedy, but perhaps. But it still be fun.
It's kind of like the the stage persona of Freddie, isn't it? This song, that it's just out there having a really, really good time. If there's something buried deep inside, like Freddie was obviously not the same persona on stage that he was in private.
Yes.
But this is the Freddie that we see on stage.
Yeah.
And people saw at the parties.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, behind closed doors in the privacy of his own home, very different man.
Yeah. And we get those tracks, don't we? We get the, Find Me Somebody to Love. And, you know, we get that other side of Freddie. So for me, I very strongly feel trying to make this point about 20 times. It's all about the exuberance and the fun. And that's a very important facet of life. I can't think of many songs, really, that does what this does. You know, that's why I don't want to lose that sense of...
That's why the Dutch recognise it as the happiest song ever written.
Yeah.
Well, on that repeated fact, I think let's get to the scoring. Because although I am having a good time, I think we need to... We need to get to the scores on those... So Jay, what are you scoring Freddie's classic Don't Stop Me Now?
Yeah, Freddie's classic, exuberant, joyful, celebrating the great fun bits of life, 10.
It's a 10. Matt, what are you going with? Freddie's miserable
Freddie's scream for help that the rest of the band ignored.
Yeah.
eventually leading, of course, to his demise.
Yeah.
I give it a 10.
Yeah.
He warned us.
I give this a 10 as well, just for just being absolutely brilliant. The track that put me onto Queen, and then I heard Greatest Hits a few years later. It was like, oh my God, it's the same band that did all these other great tracks as well. It's just an absolute joy. Incredibly hard to sing. I reckon it's caught out a lot of people. That and Radio Gaga. People think they know it. People think they can do it. They go and do it at karaoke and they soon come unstuck, I think. But what a brilliant track. It's a 10.
It's a 10. 10 all day long. Whether it's a cry for help or it's the most exuberant thing ever. Anyway, right. Ian, we're absolute fair play for taking this on.
Full respect. I couldn't
do respect.
It.
Respect among us.
I wouldn't do it.
Be gentle with me, listeners. It's very difficult.
So here is Ian's version of Don't Stop Me Now.
Tonight I'm going to have myself a real good time. I feel alive. Hi, hi, hi. And the
Don't stop me, don't stop me, ooh, ooh, ooh. Don't stop me, don't stop me.